The following is general advice only and should not be construed as accounting, legal, or any other professional advice. The details of your situation are fact-dependent, and you are advised to seek the help of a competent professional. Welcome to CPA Reviewed, the podcast of another71.com. Today is Monday, September 19th. I am your host, Jeff Elliott. And so, yeah, scores started coming out last week, much to everyone's surprise. I was actually on vacation, and I checked my email. I think it was, last Thursday? And I get an email that BEC had been released, and I was like, what? Number one, it was released last in the last window. And number two, I didn't think any scores would be coming out until today, Monday. So I fired off a little message on Facebook, and then sure enough, a couple hours later, people started reporting their scores. So that's good stuff. Friday, auditing came out again. To my surprise and to the chagrin of financial and regulation candidates. It seems like regulation people are routinely getting the shaft. I don't know why that is. But welcome to today's show. You can send me your questions clicking the Ask Jeff button at another71.com, and I will include it as a part of a future podcast. You can also reach me on Facebook at facebook.com/another71. All right, let's check the mailbag. All right, Chris emails. He says, I bought a 2009 self-study package, but only took one exam. I'm back to preparing, and I purchased a review course, a 2011 review course that doesn't have videos. It's just book and software. Should I still go back and watch the 2009 DVDs? I would say no. The only exception might be BEC, but then you still have to know that business structures is no longer in BEC, and they also added an element of international internal auditing standards. If you're not going to buy 2011 videos, I would not go back and watch the 2011 videos or buy a course of 2011 videos, I would not go back and watch your 2009 videos. It's kind of a waste of time, and you can end up tricking yourself and confusing yourself because there's been some changes. So, especially with the July 2011 updates. So, I would not. Mark asks, how would you suggest a person study if they have ADD, attention deficit disorder? I would break your study times into small little study nuggets. So if you know that you can't pay attention to a video for more than 10 minutes, well, study for 10 minutes, take a 3-minute break, get up, walk around, do jumping jacks, sit back down. And that's what I would do. And I would also shut off all, your email, shut off your cell phone. Don't even have Facebook up in a browser because you know you're going to click over and read about what some person from high school that you haven't talked to in 10 years, what they just did at a supermarket. You don't care. It doesn't matter. Stay off of it. Okay. Andrew says, at this rate, I'm worried I will run into problems with my 18-month clock after I pass my first section. Please advise. Andrew doesn't say how far away his 18-month clock is as far as expiring. Make sure that you don't let the 18-month clock lull you into taking a couple months off. I have 18 months to pass. No big deal. Because I ran into my 18-month clock and it killed me. I passed financial, felt like I had passed the exam, took a year off, and oops. So I end up losing my financial credit. So I guess just get a study schedule. Try to knock out two sections per testing window. You start in the month of the blackout month. So in this case, the blackout month is September right now. You start studying for your first section. Take the first section in mid-month of the first month of the testing window. So in this case, it would be like mid-October. And take your second section at the end of the testing window, so like November 30th. So just stay focused. Don't goof off. You know, try to get the exam done as quickly as possible so that you can move on with your life. Don't try to really mix having a life with the exam. Just be miserable for a while and get it done. Hi, Jeff. My name is Juan. I'm a CPA in Puerto Rico. I used to work at a small firm, and I have a question for you. I saw your video about careers, which is at careersoutthere.com. And your recommendation was to start at Big Four, but I have an entrepreneurial spirit. Do you recommend that I start a practice on my own with experience at a small firm, or do you think I should go work first at a Big Four firm? If you have an offer to work at a Big Four firm, jump at it. I don't care. Go be miserable for 2 years and suffer through busy season. Go get that experience. You will be extremely marketable. Even if you don't get invited to a Big Four firm, I highly recommend, okay, if you aspire to run your own tax practice, I do not recommend just starting your own tax practice from scratch without any experience, because you can run into all sorts of legal troubles if you mess up a client's stuff. If you are a licensed CPA and you make a mistake from a tax, you know, if you cause a client to owe a bunch of taxes, they can sue you, and that's not good. So you need to be around some veterans for a minimum of 2 years, know how a tax practice works, know how to do auditing if you want to do auditing, know what types of clients you should take, know what types of clients you should stay away from. You need to know how much to bill an hour, because chances are you will underbill what you are worth. So go get the experience. Mike says, Jeff, having passed the CPA exam, I'm interested in taking the CFA exam, Chartered Financial Analyst. I'm wondering if you knew of any sites similar to Another 71 that focus on the CFA exam. That is a great question, and I do not. I guess I would just Google for some CFA forums or something like that. I'm sure that there's some CFA review courses out there that probably have a blog or a forum or something like that. The CFA, I was sitting next to a guy on the airplane the other day, coming back from vacation, and he wants to take the CFA exam. It's like 3 years, so it's pretty intense. All right, John says, is there a good way to figure out what parts to take first? For example, if I take regulation and auditing, and if I think those will be hardest for me, should I concentrate on those first before attempting financial and BEC, which might be easier for me? This way I have less of a chance of having past parts expire, because I'm struggling to pass the harder parts last. That is exactly what I would do. Whatever couple of sections you think you will struggle with more than others, you know, maybe you work in tax, and so you think regulation, you might have an easier time with regulation because you're used to filing corporate tax returns, individual tax returns, and maybe you think that you'll struggle with BEC more because you're really weak in cost accounting and economics and financial management. Then I would take the sections that you fear the most. That way, just as you said, your 18-month window starts after you've passed your hardest sections first. All right. John says, can an inactive CPA sign for my experience requirement? He's from New York. I don't know New York's rules, so absolutely, you must call the New York State Board of Accountancy and ask, period. That way you're not, because here's the deal. What if you find yourself working a corporate gig and as is often the case, no one in your office, because accountants in industry often let their licenses lapse, because what's the point of keeping up with the CPE? You're not going to hold yourself out to the public. Oftentimes, they don't hold themselves out to the public as a CPA. Maybe they're a Big Four alum and switch to industry. They're not signing off on audit engagements, okay? They're not signing tax returns, so they don't care. And when I had my experience requirement, I don't think that my manager they were a CPA, but I don't think they kept up with the CPE. I could be wrong. But bottom line, ask your state board of accountancy. Okay. Nicole, how can I sign up for text alerts when NASBA releases scores? All right. Go to twitter.com/NASBA and follow them. And then Twitter has an option to get, I think it's called SMS text or SMS texts from them or something. Anyway, you can enable it so that whenever NASBA sends out a message, it will come up as a text message on your phone. The only problem with that is that NASBA tweets about things other than the score, CPA exam score release, which makes sense. They have other things going on besides CPA exam score. So you'll be sitting there just dying to get score release news, and maybe your phone's on vibrate. Like, oh, wait, NASBA. And then it's like, hey, we'd like to welcome our CPE partner XYZ as an official NASBA CPE partner. And you're like, ah. So yeah, people tend to get disgruntled about that, but that's just the way it goes. So that's how you do it. Aisha says, do you think it's feasible to study for two exams in a window? I want to study for FAR and auditing. Yes, absolutely. As I said before, start in the blackout month. So September, take your first exam. Mid-October, take your second exam. Late November. All right. Brian says, I got a 74 on auditing. I've been there. I know how badly it hurts. After some disbelief and anger, I started thinking, which is normal. I wanted to throw my laptop through the wall. I know when I took the exam, I was asked one particular question three slightly different ways, and I know I got all of them wrong. At least you were consistent. I'm not sure what the AICPA's thoughts on losing points for a question three times. I don't really care. But I was contemplating trying for a score review or appeal because I was so close to 75. Those three questions might have been pretest. You have no way of knowing. And a score appeal is not worth the money or time. I looked into it. Get another NTS. Jump back in there. Study with a vengeance. And destroy auditing next time. Maggie says, I failed BEC last window. I'm still waiting on financial. I don't have high hopes. It was the fifth time taking it. I'm retaking auditing this window. And I guess BEC, and maybe even FAR. That's a lot of exams. Regulation expires in January. That makes sense. My failing scores have been in the 70s. Any suggestions? I've switched from various review courses, and I spent more money than I had imagined. I do well on the multiple choice questions, and the simulations do me in. In BEC, my writing was stronger and my multiple choice questions were weaker. Go figure. Do you have any questions or do you have any suggestions? I've been out for 2 years and I've taken the test or taken 14 exam sections so far. Maggie, you know what? You're not alone. There are people out there who have taken the exam a bunch of times, and that's nothing to be ashamed of. You are to be commended for sticking with it. Serious. Scoring in the 70s, I mean, you were so close. So what I would do is I would not let the pressure of regulation expiring in January cause me to cram three exams into the next testing window, because I think you're better off passing two this testing window and then maybe take the the third section in January before your credit expires. Figure out what date your credit expires and take your last exam before that. Now, as far as review courses go, if your review courses are not matching your learning style, then watch demos from some other courses that you haven't tried. If maybe an instructor or maybe the way that they do the videos just clicks with you better, then I would do that. I would switch review courses. You have a lot at stake. And maybe you just start with a new review course for like one section before you just invest money into three new sections. But going back to the Ninja framework, make sure you're watching all the videos and then do the multiple choice questions, take killer notes, rewrite your notes. So in this case, I would take two sections this next testing window, forget about the other one until January. And if need be, maybe you even take two before January, maybe you throw the Hail Mary because you didn't pass one of them and before your regulation credit expires. But let me tell you, losing an exam credit is not the end of the world. It happened to me. I lost financial, the absolute worst section that you can lose. And you know what? I just got over it. And I just decided that the AICPA was not going to beat me. And I passed it the next time. So stick with it. You can do it. You are extremely close. Never, ever give up. You can do it, okay? All right. Well, that's all for today. Keep your fingers crossed for financial regulation coming out. This has been CPA Reviewed. Thanks, everyone. Happy Monday to you. Catch you later.